Hi, everyone. Hello. Welcome to Tim and Joel Call It in the Ring. WWE is done conscripting its talent. Those left behind will end up on Velocity.
Shout out to Lince Dorado, who has announced his candidacy for Shotgun Saturday Night and Velocity.
Ooh,
the man really knows where he wants to work. I appreciate it. Do you know where you want to work, Tim?
Current job's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's fine. You want to pay me to make music content? I do light shows. I need a lot more money, though. It's not enough.
So. Well, that's why we're here, because we want you to want us to do more of this content. So, hey, do us a favor. Toss us a thumbs up if you're watching on live on Twitch. Or, wow, not Twitch. We had a long conversation about Twitch. If you're watching us here on youtube.com/TimandJoelPod, go ahead, toss us a like, leave a comment on the video, jump into the chat if you're live with us. We'd love to have your voices heard. And subscribe to the channel. Why not? We're going to get ourselves to 1,000 subs any day now, right? That's what's going to happen. And while you're at it, we got a Discord. There's a link in the video description. It's free for now. So get yourself in there. We talk about all the shows live as
all the shows.
Yeah, all the shows. It's kind of nuts. Yep. Shout out to Mod Mike and to Mod Dan, who are always in there, always participating and always posting links like mad. Appreciate that. It's good stuff. Yeah, the only one who gets to work a Shotgun Saturday Night is Arn Anderson.
Absolutely. Oh my God. I just picture him sitting on his porch like Wilford Brimley when he played that the Cajun guy. Oh man, that movie sucked. What was it? I think it's Hard Target. Anyway, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's great. Good stuff.
I thought you said it was awful.
Yeah, it's special awful. Wilfred Brimley plays a Cajun man. It's hilarious. I got no issue with it. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, once again, is just like French, so it's very, very funny.
Wilfred Brimley is Diabetes Man? Yeah.
Diabetes Man. Yeah, and from Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh, that's right. Walker says, I have AIDS. Anyway, shout out to Conan O'Brien and the Conan O'Brien Lever. Let's talk about it. We got the draft. Conscription is over, my friend. Draft Dodgers, get ready. It's happening. Mm. Wow. Night two. Do you want to run down the picks? We'll do what we did this past Sunday.
Just they put everything interesting on the post show, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
So let's talk about it.
Okay. So let's start with Raw. Raw picked up Becky Lynch.
Oh, big surprise, that one.
Coming right out hot in the gate. First thing on the
Very, line. Very interesting. Yep. Yeah. Fascinated.
Picked up. Well, we'll get through the list, then we'll talk about the ones that are important. Bobby Lashley stays on Raw. Seth Rollins goes to Raw. Damian Priest stays on Raw. AJ Styles and Omos stay on Raw. Kevin Owens moves to Raw. Street Profits move over. Finn Balor moves over. Karrion Kross sticks around. Alexa Bliss, with that hilarious graphic that she gets, she's also going to stay on Raw. Carmella moves to Raw for the first time ever. Dana Brooke, she stays on Raw. Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, for some reason, get moved to Raw. Jackson Ryker stays on Raw. Veer gets moved over to Raw. Singular Veer.
Just Veer.
That's a thing. Liv Morgan moves to Raw. Mia Yim gets drafted finally. He's going to hopefully appear on a brand. Tamina gets split up from Natalya, and she moves to Raw. Tegan Knox splits from Shotzi Blackheart, and she moves to Raw. The Hurt Business end up on Raw. The Miz stays on Raw. And finally, I didn't put this, I put this higher, but I'll say it now. Gable Steveson, who is officially signed by WWE, he was drafted to Monday Night Raw. Of course, I assume that's going to be after his NCAA career, after he finishes up at college, yada, 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 gets the proper training and then has some big run. I don't know. He's going to have to face Tony D'Angelo at one point.
Okay, no, the whole thing's bloody pointless now. Like, I didn't know he had all this crap to do still. What was the point of that? Just to pop people for, like, 2 minutes? Who cares? I don't care. If he's not going to be on TV for another bloody year, I don't care.
It's simple. They go to USA and they say, hey, we've got this really cool thing that's going to garner a lot of buzz and everyone's going to pick up the story, yada, yada, yada. It's Gable Steveson. And they went with it.
That's nice. It made for a very boring moment. I was just like, it seemed interesting. And then, yeah, I see people mentioning that he's just not going to be available for like a year.
Yeah, because the idea here is that he has 1 year left at school and he's dedicated that to finishing up at school.
Why?
because he makes a lot of money, I guess.
Oh, yeah. He gets a free ride. He's special. Yeah,
exactly. So on this list, there are definitely a few people that jump out. There are some that absolutely do not. For instance, Kevin Owens jumps out because he'll be on Raw for 4 months and then he'll leave.
Even his draft photo just looked unenthused.
Are we going to get like unhappy Kevin Owens, but it's not meta? It's actually for real. Kevin Owens is just done. Is that what we're doing? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Finn Balor moves to Raw. We don't see him. We see him tweeting instead.
Yeah.
Why? Why do we do that?
Why 3 hours to fill? I don't know. What do you do? You got to get him away from Roman, right? I guess we're never going to find out what happened. It was just by the grace of God that Roman Reigns won that match, which WWE should probably do an invest. Like, there's no time. I really dislike the fact that there's no conversation about the fact that the WWE's ring just fucked up mid-championship match and no one cares.
I mean, all I'm saying, like I've said in other shows, Miro loses the title the same week that God picks a new favorite champion.
That's what happened.
That's all that happens.
That's it. You don't need an explanation. You just need faith in God.
Exactly. Faith in the God of WWE. Veer gets split up from Jinder Mahal and Shanky. That one was unexpected.
Enjoy your 24/7 title run, Veer.
I think they're going to try and do something with him. And
I hope so, but I have no faith because I don't know. Yeah. I can't. I've never seen them do anything with a character like that. That's been, you know, worth a damn. So we'll see.
They're going to like call him the $1 million arm. Finally, they're going to actually like make use of that or some sort of, they're going to try and position it in a way where Disney doesn't come after them for the rights.
Yeah.
So
I think that'd be interesting. That.
Liv Morgan moves over, so did Carmella, and so did Zelina Vega. So obviously that all stays the same. That
trifecta remains, yeah.
Mia Yim, like we said, I think it's great that she got picked up in the draft. I hope that they actually do something with her because we haven't seen her anywhere
since it looks like they're going to treat the draft as a bit of a reset for some people. So
speaking of resets, this is the big news, is that they split up all but one of the women's tag teams.
Yeah.
Not that they had that many to begin with. Shotzi and Tegan are gone. Tamina and Natalya are gone. We have Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley. They're the last two.
What are they called?
Super Brutality.
Super Brutality. One of the... Oh, my God. Like,
I don't know what to expect.
Someone... I can't remember. I think it might have been Bix commenting on someone else's thing where it was like the graphic for Karrion Kross when he was drafted and it had just Fallen Prey in it. And they're just like, who is this product even for anymore? Like, it's clearly not for children given some of the baffling things they fixate on. But also, like, no grown ass man should enjoy this. But here we are.
They also put for the Viking Raiders, they said,
Raid?
It? Yeah, bring the Raid or whatever it was.
Bring the Raid. It's just like, this is so dumb.
Listen, we know who it's geared towards. We're not
in the I don't. Anymore. People who ate lead as children, like I
Jesus Christ.
I don't, it's so dumb. It's beyond dumb right now. And I'm just like, this is, and I don't know. I got a lot of thoughts on NXT. We're going to talk about that too.
I'm excited to talk about NXT. My theory is that they're going to put together a whole new slew of women's tag teams.
Hopefully that's the case. It is confusing to me why you would erode ones that you seem to have already put a little bit of work into establishing. Tamina and Natalya made sense to me, but whatever. I don't care if they stick together. But they had Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. They clearly felt Mandy Rose needed to do something else. Interesting that Dana Brooke gets squashed and gets TV drafted compared to some of, again, the more interesting things where they split up tag teams. Like,
yeah,
arbitrary splits. Like why, like Ziggler and Rude are drafted together, but like Veer is drafted separate. It's just so weird because they don't address how odd that is.
They also don't address who is officially in a tag team.
Yeah. I mean, like stables are state, like Hit Row gets drafted all together. Like,
They're the only stable that got drafted. Everyone else was either a tag team or not, or split up in a
three-way. Like, that's the thing. Bobby Lashley, but not Shelton and Cedric. I know they're freshly back together. No talk of MVP, so he clearly goes with Lashley. I think he was in the graphic.
Yeah, but keep in mind, M is not an active competitor most of the time, so and currently is out of action, therefore ineligible.
But I mean, so is The Miz, right? He's, you know, he's doing the Dancing with the Stars, and apparently they drafted him. I thought he was a free agent. But.
So did I. My hope was that they would do free agent Miz, and he comes back, and he's like, I'm drafted every year. I am the guy. I've never been left out. What is this? I was expecting that at least from a few, but it looks like Sami Zayn will get that designation because he was the last on-screen pick for the WWE draft.
Yeah, but then he gets indignant about being drafted last, but the fact of the matter is that there were so many people drafted after him, like the majority of the people. It's ridiculous.
So let's move to the SmackDown side of things. Let's get those names out there. So the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, they're first, which doused a whole lot of dreams, let me tell you. People who were expecting that big New Day Usos story where Paul Heyman finagles away to get the New Day all back on one brand. That's dead. I'm sorry.
Nope. It's because they clearly can't fathom a singles competitor making a decent run with a stable and them not just being peons.
Right. Sasha Banks, who, by the way, is the only woman in that triple threat for Saudi left on SmackDown. Intercontinental Champion Rick Boogs. Sorry, Intercontinental Champion Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. Wishful thinking, my there, bad.
Yeah. You don't wish that.
I do. Sheamus and Cesaro. So we'll reform the bar. Shayna Baszler moves over from Raw to SmackDown. Xia Li gets called up from NXT. The Viking Raiders move over from Raw. Ricochet moves over from Raw. Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, they move over from Raw.
Rosebud.
Rich Holland gets the call up from NXT. We'll talk about him today. Sami Zayn is the final on TV draft pick, and then we have Jinder Mahal and Shanky. Natalya gets moved over to SmackDown, stays on SmackDown and splits from her tag team partner, and Shotzi is now on her own, which to me personally I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, I think it's better because it was just it was weird and they were just being misused anyway.
I said this on our show, and then I've done a couple with Fightful where I've said flat out, you know, Shotzi and Tegan were either going to not get the tag title match or they were going to lose because they kept winning the matches leading up to the tag title shot.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, I would love to hear what happened in the middle of Shotzi and Tegan's run that they suddenly decided, no, we're going to put it on Rhea and Nikki. Like, who pitched that? Was it like, we're going to satiate Nikki for having lost the title just like that after we gave her Money in the Bank? Like, what was the reasoning?
I think it was more not to diminish Rhea. Like, that's what I really think it was. I think it was to keep her in a position where she's supposed to be strong and dominant. That's what I think it was. And I think they just picked whoever made the most sense at the time. And they just did the odd couple thing because they did it quick.
So. Well, they always do the odd couple thing. And I think everything else that you just said is 100% on the nose. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, I think they're more over on Rhea generally. And like, you know, Nikki losing so quick was part of it, but... Eh.
Yeah, and like Drew in the chat saying, you know, it's crazy. No top champions can have friends.
Yeah, like it's really irritating because the New Day can coexist with Big E as the title holder. That like they don't even need titles. It's fine.
Yeah, but exactly. But he's happy for Ricochet moving to SmackDown because that could do him good. I don't know.
Ricochet needs a mouthpiece. Like we saw this in Lucha Underground. Like it's Prince Puma, he's great, but the dude can't talk. At all. Yeah. And he's not going to get any better if he hasn't by now. Like, he needs a mouthpiece. Like, he's on the same show as Paul Heyman. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they got somebody in mind who can do that for him. But, like, he's a tremendous in-ring competitor. He just needs someone on the mic for him.
What happens if he happens if he replaces Veer in the Jinder Mahal and Shanky 3?
Please, God, no.
What? Oh, my God, I got it. You dress up Ricochet like a Viking Raider.
And you don't give him put a that big out stick there. Don't chicken. Put that. They would do it. Leg. They would totally do. He'll do flips with. Oh my God, he's gonna choke. Somebody, make sure there's someone ready to give the Heimlich at a moment's notice.
I agree with Evan saying Ricochet needs a Malcolm Bivens. Yes,
absolutely.
He needs someone to talk for him. That's not the same guy. It could be someone else completely who just has that. Oh my God, put him in the Robert Stone brand. I'm sorry. I'm gonna stop.
I'd be fine with that. I mean, like I said, I just love watching Ricochet and him again. I don't want to read too much into who they drafted on TV because it's not like I think Dana Brooke's about to get a big push. Like, I don't think it means like sweet shit all. Like, I just don't understand. Anyway, I hope that Ricochet does get some more attention. He definitely needs a mouthpiece.
put him as Happy Corbin. We call him Happy Rick O'Shea.
Oh God. Yes,
he's gonna. Oh my!
He go back to stealing hats.
Oh, that's perfect. He's gonna steal the hat and wear it this time, and actually make a thing out of it with suspenders and. Oh, I'm so excited.
Do a little soft shoe.
They'll call him Happy Trevor. Oh, righteous Ricochet. I love it. Oh, my God. Chad, keep this energy up. I love it. All right. NXT, let's talk about last night's show. We'll go piece by piece. We're not going to do everything, but I got a few notes.
There was so much. It's just like that breakneck pace is nobody's business now. Like, okay. Just constant.
So I'm going to get to this. So we open up with Mandy Rose versus Ember Moon. And yeah. First of all, the two wallop each other. Like, there's a whole lot of potatoing. It's good stuff for me, at least, to watch. They
played back that brutal forearm strike right to the jaw.
Yeah, you just see her, like, her jaw shifts 2 inches to the left.
She falls right down. Back.
Good stuff. I liked it.
Yeah, it was something.
Ember continues to lose, and that eventually will end up with her turning heel, I assume, because she's just getting mad. She can't win a match.
Yeah,
she'll
threaten to murder some people, and she'll find her way.
Murder.
Talk about. She'll shout about balls a bunch.
Interestingly, the matches on NXT are not what's interesting the fans. Okay, it's these stories. It's these characters. They're actually getting these ridiculous characters. They're giving them a little bit more than they had in the original NXT. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
I think they're going much more cartoony so that they can dramatically change them when they go up to the main roster. When they talked about shifting to developmental, this feels extremely developmental now. Like, I feel like almost all of these characters, when they make main roster debuts, will not resemble what they are on these shows anymore. Whereas, because yeah. WWE really struggled with that. They would try to bring people up and they would have a hard time figuring out how they fit into the real show. And, you know, you're still seeing that with Karrion. So I think that's something that is going to shift here, where they get these much more ridiculous characters on this show and then eventually evolve into something a little more grounded that they can do for years rather than, you know.
And there's an investment in these characters as well. Some of them are meme characters. Like, let's face it, Tony D'Angelo had no business being as over as he was last night. But then it's he delivered. Ridiculous.
Like, but yeah, he's good. He's great in the ring. I mean, the character is.
You know what, though?
Ludicrous.
Here's the thing. I understand people saying fans working themselves into thinking these characters are good. Some of these characters, yeah, they're kind of hokey.
I at least appreciate
over,
that
I
it's
different. I don't care how they get over. I don't care if it's a meme. Because you know what? If it's a meme, then guess what happens next? Then it's on the wrestler. It's on the performer. It's on the character to live up to the hype.
Yeah.
And someone like Tony did that last night.
Yeah. I don't have an issue with this at all. Like, it's different. I like that when I watch this show, it's different than the other shows in a significant way. That's all I care about, that I'm not watching the same stuff over and over again. I think I prefer where NXT is going right now compared to what it was before. I think it's good. I think it's interesting. The Tony D'Angelo character is stupid because, like, what I am noticing a lot on NXT is people saying weird things that don't make sense. Like, there's slip-ups in the moment, and it's just kind of confusing to me. And there's a lot of just zero research and logical inconsistency in NXT right now, which is fine. It's wrestling. I don't care. But it's just wrestling. Funny to me. Because, again, we've got a Chicago mobster with a New York accent. It's the dumbest thing in the world. But whatever. I don't care. This has become a meme. Like, it is a whole thing. The amount of, like, these emojis on Twitter I saw yesterday and in the crowd was hilarious.
Yeah. And so here's another good shout. Like, the VaudVillains, they had a hokey ass gimmick.
Loved them. Loved them. Really loved them. Yeah. Somebody, who was it? Lash Legend talked about the new Sopranos movie.
Yes. Okay. We're gonna go back to that
series anyway.
We're gonna talk about Tony D in a minute. I know we have to. I know it's big news. But I will say, you know, while wins and losses they can matter, especially in wrestling, like, the emphasis is on the characters and the story here, and it always has been with WWE. Like, when we talk about Raw, spoiler alert, we're gonna talk more about the stories that are happening more than we are the matches, because the matches are inconsequential at this point. Wrestling in WWE world is the talk, not the fight. The fight is what you do last,
Yeah. And you build to it. That's what goes on the pay-per-view.
They're secondary. And you know what? For a lot of people, that frustrates them. And I understand that. I fully
understand. Watch Ring of Honor. I don't care.
And that's the thing. And then people
There's so much wrestling. Watch something else.
When you look at it at different angles with different eyes and with different expectations, things aren't as bad. Listen, when the stories are dog shit, that's when I have a problem. That's when I don't want to see
it. Which is more often than not. But
yeah, but then we can just make jokes and be like, it's not serious. Whatever.
Well, and that's people the thing. I'm glad doing this. These hokey characters are joke fodder, so I'm good.
So let's talk about it. Tony D'Angelo makes his big debut. Hey, first of all, he comes out. I love it. He's just like, just soak it in. And I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect. He's already over.
His theme is pretty much what I expected. It was like, did it, did it.
The crowd is super into it. And you know what? For an NXT crowd, for that PC crowd, I hate that crowd.
They're awful. They did
the right thing.
They continue to be awful. But yeah, Tony.
So he comes into the ring. And he's wearing his velour tracksuit, and he takes off the top of the tracksuit.
The top, and he's got the A shirt. Like, didn't I call that? Didn't I say he has to come out? Like,
you did. You really did. So Tony comes in, and he tries to slip the ref a 50. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Tom Caster, who just came back from another injury. He had, had a freak injury, came back, got injured again, but he's back again because he is a freak man who makes hilarious short strike. He comes back from injury real quick. So referee Tom Caster gets slipped to 50. Tony D has a match with Malik Blade, who had his NXT debut. He had lost matches on 205, but now he's on NXT. And you know what? Great footwork. Tony D had a great match.
He did. Like, it is good finish. The neck breaker. He's like Nunzio times 100 now.
he can do that headlock. He can also do the moss covered moss covered family credenza. There you go. Music and moonsaults going to Chicago. Hopes he runs into Tony D'Angelo this weekend.
All right. I don't think you do hope that. He's a connected man. You don't want to run into him.
Go by the
stay docks. Stay off the docks in Chicago.
Go to the docks with a 50 and be like, I think he dropped this. Where's Tony? I think he dropped this. And that's all you got to do. There you go. They could have recycled Enzo and Cass's music. But you know what? If they did that, people just would have been like, it's the same guy again. Bad news. So listen, to celebrate, I had a meatball sub. I don't know about you. Did you have a meatball sub to celebrate?
No, I don't. Meatball subs are messy. It's unpleasant. There's wet. It's wet bread. No, thank you.
But you got to toast the bread first, and you got to not carry it around for an extra 10 minutes.
Yeah, then it's awkward, and stuff slides out the back. It's an awful, awful meal.
You got to learn how to put together a meatball sub, because it's supposed to sit in the bread and not fall out.
Maybe I'm not going the right place.
You're really not. You got to go to Sbarro, just like Tony D'Angelo.
I'm not going anywhere.
They're absolutely going to debut Cousin Rocco and Cousin Carmine.
Absolutely.
I am all for it. Hey, there you go. Meatball subs are delicious, Tim.
Meatballs belong on spaghetti. That's it. Leave it alone. That's a good enough carb for me.
Well, speaking of carbs, we're going to go to Halloween Havoc, October 26th. What's going on with TakeOver? You think they're done? Are they done with TakeOvers?
No more TakeOvers.
That's upsetting. Yeah. Well, either way, this will be the first TakeOver-esque special show. They're going to do Bron Breakker versus Tommaso Ciampa. Ciampa came out, did his whole, we are NXT, and then Bron Breakker said, get a dog. And this could be Bron Breakker's first loss in NXT. What do you think? Is it time to put the title on Bron Breakker, or is this going to be his breaking point?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, he comes out and he is Scott Steiner, for sure. I don't know about
his dad's Rick.
Okay. Yeah, either way, they both sound the same. Like, they're Steiners, and it's ridiculous that they got the alarm in the theme, or the siren in the theme. Like, he talks exactly like him. We shout about some balls some more, which is okay. I don't know. The Gacy thing might just be a thing to build up Ciampa before he loses. I could see them hotshotting it. I could see them giving it to Breakker as a signifying thing, like a transitional moment. Passing of the torch, from the veterans to the new blood.
So let's talk about Joe Gacy. He does the promo in the back, and he says, I'm going to have a match. He has a match against Ikemanjiro, beats him. Did he have to throw a punch this time, do you think? Did he throw a punch?
Lariat is pretty punchy.
I don't know. He didn't, but you connect with your forearm. You don't connect with your fist.
arbitrary distinction. He does. Subjective. So he does the clothesline from hell with a little like cartwheel. He bounces his ass off the ropes and then does it. Whoop-de-doo.
Oh, like the Ambrose thing going outside.
Yeah, no, but he flips over. He's upside down. He's briefly upside down. It's a boring finisher, and I don't care. It's another clothesline from hell. I don't care. I hated all of that. I hate Joe Gacy still. Really? Ikemen Juro is great. Loved Ikemen Juro. Yeah, you know what was even weirder? Because they basically had Parker Bordeaux, who now looks like a skinhead, like, neo-Nazi.
I'm so upset.
Like, do you see the juxtaposition problem there? Like, he could have been fine, but they're leaning real hard into it. And I'm concerned where they're going with it because it's kind of messed up. And I don't want my wrestling to be topical.
No, he's a cult leader. Joe Gacy is a cult leader.
Okay. Well, it's concerning that the guy who is likely, I assume, going to be the face in their feud looks like a neo-Nazi.
Oh, sorry. When you say face... Do you mean the good
Parker
guy?
Bordeaux? Yeah,
no, he's not the good guy.
Is Joe Gacy the good guy?
Joe, neither of them are the good guy. Joe Gacy is not a good guy.
Then how can they have a feud? Why are they even hinting at it? Why are we doing this?
Because the idea here isn't that Gacy and Bordeaux are at odds. It's that Bordeaux, who is now Hunter Garland or Hunter, whatever.
Hunter.
No, I think it's Hunter. What? Either way.
Hunter.
Hunter. I don't remember.
Just call him Gunner. Anyway.
Gunner. It's Gunner Harlan, not Hunter. Gunner.
Handspring. Thank you. That was the thing I was trying to think of.
Gunner Harlan. I can't believe we spent 10 seconds on that.
It was Gunner. Okay.
Gunner is not at odds with Joe Gacy. Gunner is a follower of Joe Gacy because Joe Gacy is a cult-like figure that is going to be followed.
If that's what you think, I'm fine with that. That's fine. That'd be an interesting story.
That's where we're going with this.
It's just the weird sneer post-match was very odd. And I don't know. It made me think of bad things.
So. Mr. Forward Roll, Gunner Harlan.
He looks like absolute ass.
I don't know.
He should not have shaved his head. It doesn't work for him.
It's like they went
down
the line.
Does he have a neck tattoo too?
No, so that one's fake. The rest of it's real, which is just hilarious. That one's the fake one.
Oh... I didn't care for that. That's so much work every week. Put on fake tattoo.
So next week we're going to do Joe Gacy versus Tommaso Ciampa, triple threat. And if Gacy wins, he's
taking the pin.
That's pretty much what it. Or Gacy is going to be the big heel champion after Parker does a thing.
No. Maybe that's also possible. Yeah, if Parker is. On his side, which now that you say it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what's going on with Gacy and all that. So here we go, neck tattoo. Yeah, exactly. Cody has new competition with that neck tattoo. So Cameron Grimes does his little shtick. He's now a ladies man.
Yeah, he's gonna lose a lot.
They're gonna call him Boy Grimes.
Yep.
Oh boy. You think they'll do a dating show with Cameron Grimes?
Almost.
I'm all in on that. But I don't want to see him with the Pete Dunne thing unless there's like a story here. Otherwise, he was just kind of used.
He was used to elevate Pete Dunne, which is what he's now Ember Moon. That's his role right now.
Cameron Moon.
Fan favorite. Yeah, well, you know, he said he was going to the moon.
Ember Grimes.
He's arrived.
No. So fine. Yeah, so the match was fine. It is what it is. That's, again, 2.0 is less about the match. It's more about the story. And Grimes uses his device to get Kyle O'Reilly and Von Viggo Mortensen Wagner a match.
Who addresses himself in the third person. Is his gimmick that he is a Neanderthal? Like, what is the...
Yes, absolutely.
Like, Jesus.
Let me get my eyebrows that out. That hurts. I can't do that. Yeah, no.
Born that way, so it's just, you know, it's comfortable for him. But
yeah, so Von Viggo Mortensen and the Road Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly will probably take on Dunn and Holland in like 2 weeks, and Dunn and Holland will probably lose the tag match because Holland's on his way up to SmackDown.
Yep.
Speaking of which, want to tell you I called it because I called it. Santos Escobar taking on Swerve for the NXT North American Championship. Next week, I said 2 weeks they would do it. And they did it in 2 weeks. Because NXT builds in 2 week builds. Yep. If you haven't figured it out by now, everything happens in 2 week builds.
Yep. Pretty quick.
La Knight and Odyssey Jones had a match. Don't care because Andre Chase came out, and now I need Andre Chase and LA Knight as a tag team.
And you know that's not. What's that?
I know. You know what that tag team is just going to be? It's going to be the whole time. It's going to be LA Knight just being like, let me talk to you. And then Andre Chase just being like, actually, it's let me talk to you. And then LA Knight just looks at him and says, yeah. And that's the entirety of the gimmick. I hate
all of that. Stop it.
Can you imagine LA Knight wearing a Chase University hoodie to the ring? That's what we're going to do.
Why would you cover up that torso? Don't stop putting bad ideas out there,
John. God damn it. He's so old.
It's cover him up. He's
over 40. Vince.
He reminds me of my own age and therefore my mortality.
So that's LA Knight and Odyssey Jones. Odyssey Jones takes a pin. My God, it happened. He lost.
Oh, yeah, because of distraction.
There you go. That's how it happened.
So he's still strong, clearly, you know.
Yes, he's still the world's strongest man in WWE.
I'm just glad. Oh, God.
Here we go. Indy Hartwell Loomis and new best friend Persia Parada. They want the tag titles, the women's tag titles. Maybe they should win a match before they go after said women's
tag
titles.
Maybe. Perhaps Persia should have a match at all.
That's a good idea. We should do that. Yeah. We talk about Sandy Times.
Yeah, that was another thing. That was another thing that made no sense. She said there's new blood in the water, which would suggest that that Io and, Zoe Stark are the sharks. And she is chum. Like, is she chum? What is this nonsense? Why can no one get their lines?
Did you want to hear about blood in the water, or did you want to hear about the size of Dexter's package?
Oh, yeah. Good joke.
Blue Chew, if you ever wanted to sponsor us, now's the time. 9.5, they say.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he's the one who's worn out, and she's not the one walking with a little bit of a limp this week. Anyway.
All that to set up the burial of Tian Xia, which can go away now. Because it has nothing.
Penis, they open up. Yeah, there you go. They open up the door and Mei Ying and Boa are having a ceremony, a seance.
Fogging something. Up a room, a closet, perhaps?
They're hotboxing the office. Yeah. They're hotboxing.
No, that's why Mei Ying lost, because she was high.
She was absolutely out of her gourd. So Mei Ying needs a new gimmick now, I guess. That's going to be the new thing. And they're just going to turn her into, oh my God, 1,000-year-old dragon lady stoner.
Oh,
I have to stop. I have to stop. Just, I'm like, sorry.
Won't shut up about wizards and shit. Just the worst kind of stoner.
Guys, they should bring back like Woodstock, but like in like 1969.
What?
And then exactly.
Get out of here.
Go like, what? And she'll be like, what? Okay, later on in the night, Raquel Gonzalez comes out, cuts a promo, and boy, howdy. Production. I'm going to address you directly because she didn't. If this is my hard cam directly in front of me and I'm speaking to you, use the camera that I am directing my attention towards.
Wasn't the only production issue, too. Like, the Gacy pre-recorded promo, the teleprompter wasn't in front of the camera. Like, they had it off to the right.
And I was like, I'm fine with that because he's crazy and he's outside of the ring. She is in the ring. She's addressing whatever. She should be looking into the camera. And instead, they have production looking at her, like doing the upshot, trying to make her look big. And she's not addressing that camera. So it makes her look like she's ignoring everything and just speaking into what could be cue cards.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. It was weird.
It was very weird. And it just, it wasn't good. And then out come Toxic Attraction for the second time. And someone was like, oh, she didn't change her clothes. That's gross. And I'm like, you wish you could be in that clothing. Anyway, and then out come Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. Are we setting up a match for Halloween Havoc? Winner take all?
Yeah, seems like it. I feel like we just did this or are just doing this at all the times, but
we did. That was the Bronson Reed and MSK versus Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, and Zoe Stark is just like, what are you doing? Stop it. And it still happens. And here we are. It's just, I don't like them more than I don't like you. And that's it. Like, that's all it is. Like, that's not a character. Like,
and I feel bad for Io Shirai because, you know, yeah, her character is literally, I hate everyone and I don't care.
Yeah. But like, which is fine as long as, you know, she just sticks to business and keeps fighting, but they're not giving her that chance.
It's very frustrating that sometimes the 2.0 characters are being given so much more than the 1.0. Look at Io and Stark. They're just, their character is, we can't get along and I hate you.
Yeah.
But I'm with you because we have these belts. Well, you know what you could do? Put them up on the line and then just abandon your tag team partner.
And then have a feud.
There you go.
Like one of the few times I'm saying, just break up the tag team real quick. Like,
yeah, Io needs a hug, but not from one of those weird, like, she needs to be my waifu stands.
Ah,
there's enough of those out there. Let's talk about the tag team main event. It's your typical tag team NXT match. And somewhere midway through the show, it became an elimination tag.
Yeah, didn't know that. It just happened. I don't know. I was like,
apparently, okay. So Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful interviewed MSK earlier this week. And apparently MSK in the interview said our tag match this week before it was announced. So they told Sean, like, and they were in the PC doing this interview. So obviously, like, Sean can't run with that. But after the fact, he was just like, in that interview, MSK told me there was a tag title match. And Sean was like, wait, what? And MSK was like, whoops.
Whoopsie.
They get to GYV. They get eliminated. Trick and Mello get eliminated first, if I remember correctly.
Yep, very first.
Which makes sense. I mean, Trick took the pin. It wasn't Mello. Trick's the new guy. Fine. I guess Mello's contract is still open. He can still have that match. Or was it?
Yes.
He didn't cash it in.
Not for this, no.
Yeah.
So this was because they can't get along, even though I saw no reason that they... Like, it seemed like them and... It seemed like they could. I don't know what they're
They were best friends. I don't know what the hell happened. Yeah. So, fine. So, they have Briggs and Jensen as the last two in the match. And I get it because this crowd does not like MSK for whatever reason. But it didn't work because at the end of the match, the crowd was still chanting for Mello.
Yeah, that was awkward. God, and then it got
even worse.
Yeah, thank you, Imperium.
Imperium come out and they try to lay out everyone. And yeah, the crowd is chanting, thank you, Imperium.
I'm just like, you're weird. You're weird. NXT crowd. Where are we at? The CWC?
Yeah, it just made no sense. Yeah,
you're weird. You're all weird. I don't get you at all. Why do you hate MSK? They've done nothing to you.
Do they have
except
like
entertain
bad knees?
Your stupid asses.
Is it because their knees don't look better than the ones in the crowd? Like, what are we doing here?
Maybe they smell funny and they can smell them in the room. And I don't know.
Well, if you don't want to be smelly in the room, just go ahead and leave us a thumbs up on this video. If you're watching us live, comment on us. Talk about it. Subscribe to the channel if you're here, by the way. Tell your friends, share the link, do the whole thing. And then, of course, we got a Discord. Join the link in the video description. It's free. It's free, 99. That's JR's favorite saying. Let's talk about Raw. Let's talk about Casual Murder. Goldberg doesn't care anymore.
No.
We established this officially. Goldberg just doesn't care anymore about...
Somebody made his son slightly uncomfortable. And now he must murder.
But it wasn't, like, it was Gage's fault.
It was. It's indisputable. The misunderstanding thing is a perfectly reasonable explanation. Bobby Lashley going, if someone did that to you, you would do the same thing. is all very correct. And Goldberg just comes off like one of those, like a hockey dad who assaults a referee because he's an idiot. Like...
I don't know what they expected this to sound like because when they did it at SummerSlam, they took out Gage and then afterwards MVP gets on the mic and he's like, we didn't know. We had no idea that was your son. And now we had to play it again because guess what? Nobody knew it was your son.
I don't know. Maybe this is how WWE thinks most of its fans think. And it might very well be for all I know. Different people are different. But like this is, I don't know, Goldberg's the moron here.
Like, it made no sense. Bobby saying that Goldberg still dresses like he's in 1998. Why? What is he's wearing jeans and a shirt?
Again, I think because he's got the tribal tattoo, that you can't escape the fact that you are from 1998. So,
does that mean that
it supersedes all clothing? Yes.
Roman Reigns is also from 1998?
No. That's a different. That's not tribal tattoo. That's different. That's totally different. It's not white guy tribal tattoos. Yes.
Okay, that's fair. Fine.
They are very different.
Fine, I'll give you that.
And they have one is actually pretty. The other is a bunch of stupid black lines.
So then Goldberg's just like, yeah, but he wasn't wearing the same thing in 98. He wasn't wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
No, he was in his underwear most of the time in 1998.
Put him in, yeah, I mean, listen, if they put him in a suit, I think that'd be great. Oh my God, they catch the Zodiac Killer apparently? Sorry, offside.
Yeah, someone thinks they found it.
Thinks they did. Anyway, sorry, reading Twitter when live is not a good idea. Goldberg wants to intentionally break Bobby Lashley's neck.
Good luck.
He wants to commit murder, but you know what? If he's going to do it, they're going to the right friggin' country for it.
You know what? I think he's so beloved, protected. No charges.
You don't even need to be protected there. You're there.
Yeah, you do. You need to be protected by the royal family. Anyone else's say doesn't matter.
Listen, as long as nobody tells the prince that Goldberg's Jewish, then you're fine. This is going to be Goldberg.
You just told them.
Last name's Pearl. Sorry, folks. Gage's first big Saudi experience, I assume. He'll probably have a kendo stick and use it because.
Oh, are they going to bring him there?
Oh, you bet. And there's going to be video and people are going to point it out all over the place. No holds barred is a license to kill for Goldberg.
Apparently.
My God. And then the Hurt Business come out and they're taken out by Goldberg. Sure, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Goldberg just doesn't care. Like, this match is literally him just being like, I want a payday. And Bobby Lashley just being like, I have to finish off this feud with you.
Yep. I don't mind this one so much. You know, it's not for the title. I'm fine to see Goldberg. He'll probably win this. No, he will win this. It's in Saudi Arabia. The prince wants to see him win, so he'll win.
See, and that's the thing, like, I agree with you. It's not for a title, therefore I'm fine with it. Anytime Goldberg has been in a match that's not a title match since he came back, it's actually been pretty good. They did it with him and Dolph Ziggler in Toronto, and that was fun. They made it a good match. They made it a fun squash. This will not be a squash, but it'll be a sprint. It'll be full of weapons, and it'll be entertaining. Also, not everyone's going to want to watch it because it's happening in parts unknown.
Yep.
So what does it matter?
Whatever. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter at all. I don't mind the promos, at least. Like, I think Goldberg's done an okay job doing this. So, you know, they don't make a damn bit of sense, but at least it's funny. And I'm rooting for Bobby Lashley, even though he's going to lose. But
all right, Big E's, Big D's, Big B's, and Big Z's.
Love that. Love that whole segment.
Oh, did you really? Because
I did.
It dragged on. Raw dragged.
Yeah, it lasted. Yeah, I mean, it drags every week because it's 3 hours long and they don't write anything. Whatever. It was a funny pop when Drew, clearly giddy as a child, got to say Big D.
Yes.
So he was very happy, and him being happy made me happy for him. And Big Bob, just Bobby Roode was standing there silent for so long. He's like, they call me Big Bob. And then Big E was just like, not a single soul.
Sometimes
it calls you that.
Like, sometimes you just have to stay silent to get your point across. Big fan.
It was funny. It was funny as hell.
The main takeaway here was that Dolph Ziggler only works with former NXT champions.
Yeah.
Literally, I was, you everyone know, in the ring.
The payoff for this was disappointing because, you know what? It would have been fine for me if it was Big E versus Dolph Ziggler for a couple weeks, but that's not going to happen. That was clearly a one-off.
Yes. So now they're both, they might actually play that out because they're both on Raw. And so
I think that's a great little feud to get, like, to give Big E a quick win, you know?
That's actually a good shout. They probably will continue that. They probably will. They'll have Big Bob do some stuff too.
Them going back and playing all the old footage is something they don't do enough. And I think that was a good move. So
yeah. When people complain about Dolph Ziggler being like, you've been with the company for 20 years, blah, blah, blah. Why? It's stuff like that. He can pitch stuff like that. There's a long
time. Yeah, when he gets some meat to work with, he does a great job. Yeah. Like, he's really talented.
Let's move on. So they have the match, and then Big E and Drew was announced for Saudi, just like I told you it would be, blah, blah, blah. I mean, anyone could have told you, sorry. Priest versus Hardy. Again, the match is the same. Let him move on. We're done. It's over. Hardy lost to a roll up.
Yeah. Again, like, I guess that keeps him strong, right?
I don't know if it does that, because next thing you know,
he looks like a jackass every week. I don't care.
He's over it. But out comes Sarah Schreiber after they do the respect handshake thing. Sarah Schreiber tries to interview Jeff again, which I found hilarious.
Brock this time, yeah.
And then this time he gets cut off by Austin Theory, who, by the way, I don't know about you, but when I was listening, I was about to say, like, oh my God, they're going to do Hugger 2.0. Nope.
No.
So they did so much better.
Better? I don't know.
Yes.
I miss Johnny Gargano's dumb baby boy.
Bald Austin Theory is going to be Johnny Gargano, who learned from the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's good. It sets up a feud if that's what they do, but they're on different shows, no?
Yes, they are. So you got 2 weeks to do that.
So they're not. Yeah, yeah. We'll do two weeks. Austin will go over, and then Jeff will come back.
They'll do Theory and Jeff in Saudi Arabia. That's fine. That's nice. There you go.
Yeah, and do it then.
Mod Mike liked the spot from Theory, so
it was a good spot. It was a good spot. It's a good. It's a good way to introduce him. I'll say that much. And you know, it's Jeff putting over a younger talent, which I think was the intention here.
Jeff teased bringing a new persona to SmackDown. I'm very much looking forward to Itchweed making his SmackDown debut.
It's such a stupid character. I am
so excited. But everyone was like, "Well, on the Wisp, they're going to sell the masks," which is true. They'll probably sell the
stupid
masks.
They're so ugly.
Anyway. Speaking of which, she's not ugly. I'm sorry. Dana Brooke loses to Shayna Baszler. I wanted to find a transition. I couldn't find a transition, so here we are. Dana Brooke loses to Shayna Baszler. Doudrop comes out afterwards. No sells Shayna Baszler, so they'll have a thing, which is fine because guess what? The finals of the Queen's Crown, it's probably going to be either Shayna versus Doudrop or Doudrop versus Charlotte. We'll get to why in a minute. First of all, the Dana Brooke thing. You saw the whole Corey said shit about Dana Brooke and said, she should be fired, basically.
No.
So he basically said, you're supposed to get better. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. And Dana Brooke has done none of this. He called her worthless on the air. And then people started blowing it up and making this a thing. First of all,
I mean, he's the heel commentator, isn't he?
Thank you. Corey Graves says shit all the time.
Yeah, that's not, I don't know. And is she bad at wrestling? Is she criticized for being not good? I don't think I think she's fine. She's been fine this entire.
She's not good.
She's fine. I don't care.
But that's the thing. But she's been.
She said, like, it's WWE style. It's, I don't care.
But that's the whole point that I'm trying to make. She's been just fine for a while. She hasn't built or gotten better. And so, as a result,
given her anything, they keep destroying everything they do with her. Like,
good times. Listen, you're either going to build her up here or they're going to continue to make her look dumb. Like, it's either there's a big change or there's no change. There's nothing happening here.
Yeah. But I mean, that's also the case for, like, 20 men on the roster. So, like, what's the difference? Oh, like, what is Drew Gulak? Nothing. Like, he's just there. What is, all of the 24/7 people? They're nothing.
Hey, don't disparage Reggie. He got out of a big moment.
Reggie's good, but that's why he's got the title. He can do his little flips.
Did you like them teasing Apollo as part of the 24/7
program? No, it's depressing.
I'm really excited for when Vince McMahon realizes he has Omos and Aziz on the same brand.
Yeah, and he'll realize, oh no, I screwed up.
It's either going to be,
we'll have to get an even bigger man than Omos now.
It's either going to be, oh, they've got to fight. I have to see them fight. Or it's going to be, God damn it, get rid of one of them.
That would be so bad, that match. I don't even want to think about it.
I'm very excited for that awful, awful match. Yeah, exactly. And like Maude Dan says, like, only one person has Vince's ear, Vince McMahon in their ear. That's Corey Graves.
Oh, it's Corey.
Yeah. Charlotte versus Bianca main event. And that is a pay-per-view quality main event on free TV, but with a non-finish. So AEW fans, don't come after me for this shit. Because guess what? They did the same thing and had a non-finish. I'm just trying to rile y'all up now. I don't care about them hotshotting this. They just got to do it again later on with some stakes in the future, right?
That's the plan. Yeah, that's the thing. At the pay-per-view, you might see a finish. That's like the only payoff now.
Yeah, I fully expected Becky because Friday, it was the same thing. Charlotte came out and got herself involved. And I was not shocked to see Sasha Banks either.
Nope.
Sasha Banks has awful corner kicks, by the way. When she puts someone in the corner and she stomps them, it's awful.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like so many people have like specific individual weaknesses that WWE does nothing to address. Like, one of those is Karrion Kross's finisher. And he continues to screw it up. Like, go look at who was it? Someone did a tremendous Shayna Baszler puts in a tremendous rear naked choke. Just do that, you dork.
Wrestling needs more chokeouts. Anyway, Becky Two Belts, what do you think? How do we get out of the Saudi mess? Because we gotta. So now we have, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, Bianca's on Raw, Becky's on Raw, Sasha's on SmackDown, Charlotte's on SmackDown. Charlotte is not part of that triple threat in Saudi Arabia.
No.
But the other three mentioned are.
I assume we've already done Sasha Charlotte at some point.
maybe three Sasha or four and times. Charlotte has happened. Yes. Yeah. Multiple times. Yeah. Go back.
I mean, they're just going to keep doing that. Yeah. Yeah. Of course they did. Like, probably that. I wouldn't be surprised if Sasha wins the triple threat, but who knows? We could do Becky Two Belts. I don't want to do that, though. It sounds annoying.
She keeps talking about Becky Two Belts, but also you have to
find a way. I think it's a red herring.
You do, but, eh?
Yeah.
The problem is, like, you can't do the swapping belts thing, but then again, we said you can't have the New Day split up for a second time in the draft, so here we are.
They'll redo the same thing. It's different because they're women.
Okay, actually, so I do want to bring this up because I think a lot of people lose sight of this fact. We go back to Vince McMahon is not a good promoter. Vince McMahon is a good marketer, or he's not a good matchmaker. He's a good marketer slash promoter. That's what the women's evolution was. It was, we have all these gimmick matches that we have never done with the women that we can now do and it'll look fresh. Hell in a Cell. We can do more cage matches, tables matches, TLC matches. Elimination Chamber was a big one. The women can main event a pay-per-view. The women can main event a WrestleMania. It really became a Vince McMahon marketing tool to make people stay. Like, look how progressive we are. That's what we're doing here. If we switch the belts, this will be the first time that people might actually see that they're just switching the belts. It's not like for the first time ever, the women are switching the belts. It's just... Here we go.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because that's where we're at now, right? Yeah, you know, they've sped through all of that. So
the only thing I can see them doing is adding Charlotte to that match, and that's it. I think that the funniest take that I saw come out of this, and it's when I make stupid cold hot takes, I do it in jest. Someone actually tried to tell me that Charlotte is wearing all of those like full body cat suit style attires at wrestling shows. She's doing it because she's getting comfortable for what she has to wear in her match in Saudi Arabia. Thank you. When I saw that, I was like, that is ice cold and dumb. That's Val.
So dumb. You know, you can just train in like sweatpants and a sweatshirt when you're not on TV.
So my question becomes, does Charlotte get added to the four-way or to the three-way, make it a four-way? Or does Charlotte...
I would not be surprised at all
does Charlotte go into the Queen's Crown tournament and make it to the final and lose to Doudrop?
I think it's more likely that she gets added to this match.
Or she actually... This is why I don't like saying not Doudrop. Shayna Baszler is on SmackDown now. You have Shayna and Charlotte in the finals of the Queen's Crown and... Charlotte loses to Shayna, who becomes the new queen, the Queen's Crown winner. Just what I'm saying.
I think that would be the best move to build Shayna, but I don't think that that's what's going to happen. I really think the odds are higher that Charlotte gets added to this match and we get, you know, the match that everyone's clamoring for in Saudi Arabia, but with Bianca instead of Bayley.
Yeah, and like Mod Dan saying, two falls in the four way, each falls for a championship. And you can easily do that too. It can't be if they, whatever. I don't want to see another Sasha Banks versus Charlotte match. I don't.
I mean, there's it's no going to happen. You will at some point. I don't know. I'm sorry, but this is what they do.
Why are you? Like, why are you ruining my fun? What is wrong with you?
It's just that's how it be.
All right, let's go. We're going to talk about the AEW Dynamite preview. Let's get into that, shall we? We have an 8-man tag. We're going to do Bryan Danielson, Christian, and Jurassic Express taking on the Elite. Who is in the Elite in this match? Superclick, Adam Cole, Bay Bay, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks? No, that's too many people.
Not Kenny. No. Is it Kenny?
Not Kenny. I caught Kenny because of the thing. I don't know. There's so many people in this match. I don't know.
Who's Yeah, Adam Cole is definitely in it, though.
Oh, there it is. The Elite. It's Kenny, Adam Cole, and the Young Bucks. There you go.
Oh, it is Kenny. Okay.
Yeah. Because cool. of Christian.
Oh, Brian and Christian.
Because of Brian, not Christian. Because of Brian. I'm done. I'm sorry. There we go. So there's that. So there you go. We saw at the end of Rampage, they did the whole the double tap out thing with Cole and Kenny. And then, you know, Jungle Boy and Danielson. Who gets the pin in this match? Who wins?
Good question. I don't know. Cole, maybe.
Danielson pins... No. Cole pins Christian?
Could be. I can see that. Colpin's
Christian so that we can do Christian versus Cole for the Impact title before Christian drops the Impact title to, what's his face?
Josh
to
Matthews. Josh Matthews. Things are getting real weird over at Anthem HQ.
Oh my God, yes. That works for me. TNT title on the line. New champion, Sammy Guevara. Sorry, you got to do it like the theme song. Sammy Guevara. Takes on Bobby Robert Fish.
Bobbert Fish,
who I thought was signed to MLW, but no, it turns out he's just there for the Opera Cup. The AEW on Fish's t-shirt is kind of a thing. But according to Fightful Select, an image circulated of Bobby Fish's AEW render wearing an AEW designed shirt complete with the logo suggested he was signed, but multiple people said that Fish claimed that he had not signed with AEW as of this point and is still taking independent bookings. So take that as you will.
Yeah, I think he might be keeping his options open. But
if he is signed,
and this took me by surprise too. I didn't even know this was like, I was like, oh, okay. Hello.
So Mr. we went Fish. Off the air on Sunday and we realized, oh shit, we forgot.
Yeah.
Bobby Fish had basically laid out the challenge on social media, on Twitter. And then during the roads, because you watched, oh, that's right. You watched Roads to the Top and you saw Sammy's promo. And then you,
nope.
You wanted to, yeah, right?
That's why. No, you did that. I didn't watch Roads to the Top because I'm never going to watch Roads to the Top.
I did not watch Roads to the Top. But anyway, they had Bobby Fish versus Sammy announced officially during the commercial during Roads to the Top for whatever reason.
Because they needed people to watch Roads to the Top.
Pretty much.
It's desperate.
Exactly. I don't know what's going on outside, but they are like drilling on something. Anyway,
anarchy.
Something worth mentioning, Bobby Fish's NXT debut. He had a big ol' L to one Aleister Black.
Let's do it again.
Let's bring it back.
Well, he's going to take a big ol' L to Sammy Guevara tonight.
So. Oh, you bet. Casino ladder match. Winner gets a title shot for the AEW World Championship. Lance Archer, Mox, Pac, Andrade, Orange Cassidy, Matt Hardy, and the Joker. Everyone's just being like, oh, it's going to be Bud Matthews. It's going to be Buddy Matthews. I don't know if it's going to be Bud Matt, friends. I think it might be. I think it might be going to Impact now.
Could be.
I don't know. Who's the Joker? Is it Brian Cage? It's Brian Cage.
Oh, don't let it be Brian Cage. I saw some jokes that it's just going to be Penta dressed as the Joker, which is funny.
But we fielded that one last week. That's right. I wouldn't get my hopes up. It could be Leo. I don't know. Everyone's, oh, it's Buddy Matthews. It's Buddy Matthews. No, it's not. Come on, man. Come on, man. Get interesting with it. It's Jeff Hardy.
Oh, man. Make the Joker hook. Do that. That is the actual best path. Like, I don't, is Buddy Matthews good? I've never seen him do anything good because I only watched him in WWE and that was nothing. So
I don't know.
He got into an inappropriate relationship. That's all I saw.
That's all he did.
He got his ass whooped by Seth Rollins repeatedly. Yeah. He's yoked now.
He was yoked before. You just didn't get
But now he's like yoked on yoke. He's like, you cracked another egg on that.
Photos and filters will get you there.
Oh, come on.
You know it's true.
He's putting in the work. Don't you disrespect him like that.
I just don't think he's any more yoked than he was before.
Well, we'll see. It might just be a good angle.
I don't know.
The Joker, like... I don't want to speculate on it. I'm tired of speculating on it because I want it to be an actual bit of a surprise for once.
So it's Hook. Got it. It's going to be Powerhouse Hobbs. Hikaru Shida takes on Serena Deeb as Shida goes after her 50th win in her Dynamite career, in her AEW career. Wow. Yep. Yeah, so that's going to be fun. And then this is also Shida's first Dynamite appearance since losing the AEW Women's Championship.
Well, she's going to win this one.
Will Deeb play spoiler? What do you think? Oh my God, it's Paul.
I think that would be interesting. I have no issue if they do that. I mean, this match is going to be very, very good because everything Deeb's been able to do has been excellent. It's just, she keeps getting hurt, sadly. But
meanwhile, today on, what was it, the website? PW Insider, TK sat down and spoke with them and said he's got a big announcement. What do you think? He says it's something that's been in the making for a while. Trios titles is one of the people saying that. Announcing the UK show, Craven Cottage, maybe.
No, not more.
We got to go to the UK now. Now that NXT UK is going to have fans back and they're going to put UK TakeOver back.
Nonsense.
It's happening, Val. It's,
you were talking like a one-off show, not like a recurring thing.
No, no, right? They're not going to do AEW UK. I'm okay, saying they'll do good. A special.
I was like, they're in no position to be doing that yet.
And then the women's tag tournament is something that I continue to harp on. That yeah, they'll maybe read. He said there's multiple announcements, one big one, and then other ones that he's peppering in. He says,
"Okay, I mean, this feels like a big show, big show.
Hey, it's the anniversary special. It's their second anniversary. Crept up on me.
Pay per view feel, yeah.
I did not expect it.
Me neither.
Is that going to be the main event? Should be TK's big announcement. It should just be him in the ring for like 20 minutes talking. It'll be the
people would enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know what the main event's going to be. It could be, I don't know if it's going to be Guevara and Fish.
No, I think it'll be the eight man at this. Oh, maybe the casino ladder match.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless they have something random show up. I don't know. It's good. It's going to be a good one. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Elliot's saying Craven Cottage is going to be awful for wrestling. We don't live in the UK, so I'm going to take your word for it. I got to go check out this venue. And while I do that, Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
If they're watching and are sighted, can see down below here.
Are you trying to eat it?
Yeah. Tim Stone P, TimBstonep on Twitter.
Show is at Tim and Joel Pod. We are always here for y'all to find us, to engage with us, to hang out with us. We got the Discord link in the video. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead, toss us a thumbs up, comment on the video, get it out there. We want more of our friends joining us every single week, and your friends too. So go ahead, join us here at Tim and Joel Pod every Wednesday, every Sunday at noon Eastern. We're live. Otherwise, we've got the audio content that goes up every single time that we record, just shortly after. That's when Tim does it. Oh. I'm at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you on Sunday. But housekeeping, it's going to be at a different time on Sunday. So keep an eye out or an ear, whatever you want. Good night.